Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, the PM. How's it going? Oh, it's been a minute since I've been at the PM, man. I love it so much, and I'm blessed to get to share tonight. Because every time I come to the PM, actually, I do come a lot, sorry. Man, you guys bring your faith. It's such a praise party in here. It's such a praise party. But it doesn't end just because the music stopped. Like, you got to keep that energy. You got to keep that faith as we go into the Word. Because I believe God is going to speak to some people here tonight. And that's why we do this. So if you're new, like Connor said, come hang out after. Come say what's up. A few of the leaders will be there. We'd love to get to know you. But as we get into it, so our church, we just came off the back of a three-day fast. Shout out to those who fasted. I was trying to fast going to work for 3 days, but, you know, got to keep it biblical and fast food. But not fast food. Didn't have fast food. Fast food. But we were believing, as a church, we were believing that signs, wonders, and miracles will be evident in your life and in our life. Signs and wonders. And as we're fasting, because when you fast, you really get, I don't know, it's just a real connection with God when you fast. And while I was fasting, I was praying to God. I was like, God, what do you want me to speak to the PM peeps about on Sunday night? And God said, signs and wonders. So that's what I'm going to speak about tonight, all right? So we're going to go there tonight. So if you want a title for the message, it's simply signs and wonders. Go ahead and write that down, signs and wonders. All right, Acts chapter 4, verses 30 to 31. Pastor Denise shared this before we went into our fast last Sunday. It says this, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Someone say amen. Amen. That's amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank that we can come into your house, Lord. And we're believing that tonight, God, you will show up, that there will be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, and that we truly would see signs and wonders to be evident in our lives and the lives of those around us, God. So do what only you can do in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everyone say it together. Amen. Have you ever looked out for a sign, or have you ever been waiting for a sign and then just totally missed it? Just totally missed the sign. Well, I work in well-being. As you know, I work in high schools. My friend Dale, she works in high school too, and she'll tell you the same. We get a lot of people, young people, come into our office for many reasons. But one of the things that do come in to speak to us about is relationships. Young people and relationships. Actually, it's probably true with adults too. Relationships can be an issue as well. But they come in and they talk to us about relationships. And a lot of the times, young people come in and say, Q, I like this person, but the signs aren't signing. That's the language they use. That's the young, hip language. Q, the signs aren't signing. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Are there any singles in this place here that you like someone but the signs aren't signing? Anyone brave enough to give me a wave? The signs aren't signing. And I remember this young boy came into my office and he said, Q, I like this. I went to ask this person. I went to tell this person that I liked them. And when I went up to this person, they said, ooh. And I know, nah, teenagers, high school, you've been there, you know, it's ruthless. It's ruthless in high school. He went up to a girl and her response was, ooh. But here's the thing, the young boy said to me, he goes, Q, I don't know what that means. And I'm like, bro, like, I'm not Dr. Phil, and I'm not a relationship expert, but pretty sure that means no, bro. And he's like, no, but sometimes when people are mean, sometimes when people are mean, that means they like you. And I'm like, bro, you just missed the sign, man. She does not like you. She does not like you. And I believe we're in a time in history where a lot of people are looking for signs, looking for a sign to tell them what to believe, looking for a sign to tell them who they are, looking for a sign to stay or go, looking for a sign to tell them that God is real. People are looking for signs. And could it be that the signs are not signing in our lives because they don't point to Jesus? The signs that we're looking for aren't pointing us to Jesus. Every sign, every wonder, every miracle that comes from God should point back to Jesus, should draw us closer to Jesus, should bring glory to Jesus. Just like what Pastor Louis said before, drawing us to Jesus. But I think sometimes we get too caught up looking for signs, searching for wonders, asking God to stretch out his hand, only to fill our own desires. God, I need a girl. Oh God, if you do this for me, then I'll... Oh God, when you hear me, then I'm going to... Like we're on Aladdin or something. Can I tell you that Jesus is not a genie? But some of us be treating Jesus like that. In Matthew 12, 38, I'm going to put some scriptures up, or titles of scriptures up, but I'm not going to put the text up. You guys can read it for yourself because I'm just going to talk through it. But in Matthew 12, 38, the Pharisees said to Jesus, they demanded Jesus, show us a sign to prove your authority. This is the Pharisees. And I don't know if you know too much about the Pharisees, but they're out for themselves. They didn't care too much about Jesus. They were looking out. They had an agenda. They were looking out for themselves. They had no intention at all of believing that Jesus is who he says he is. And the thing is, they can't deny his wisdom. They can't deny his miracles. They've seen him do great things. They have all the evidence in the world that points Jesus to being the Messiah and that he's fulfilling prophecy. The Pharisees didn't want to believe in Jesus, listen to this, because they just did not want to believe in Jesus. They didn't want to believe in him because Jesus didn't fit their narrative. He didn't conform to their opinions. Jesus was flipping things on their head, and they couldn't stand it. They couldn't understand Jesus. They wanted a sign, not so that they would believe, but so they could trap Jesus to do something or not do something so that they can catch him out with some religious talk. But Jesus said, no, you ain't getting no sign. Jesus said, you're not getting no sign from me. I don't need to prove anything to you. And as we look tonight, as we go into my message and we look at how we can see signs and wonders in our lives today, because understand this, that Jesus is still in the business of performing miracles. He's still in the business of giving us signs and wonders. But listen, Jesus is not out here giving out signs just to prove who he is. Just to prove who he is. It is to draw us closer to him. Pharisees weren't about that. So signs are not to prove who he is. Signs are not to prove that he is the provider. They're not to prove that he's the healer. They're not to prove that he's a miracle worker, although he can prove himself if he wants to. But he doesn't need to because it's who he is. It's who he is. Signs and wonders confirm who he is, his authority, his power to draw people in to repentance and faith in Jesus. Not so that we can feel good about ourselves. And if we are asking for a sign that goes outside its purpose, which is to draw us into him, then we won't see it. So if you've been believing for a sign or wonders or miracles that don't line up with you getting closer to God, I guarantee you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. So take the pressure off that when we ask, have confidence that it is who he is rather than what he does. Because when we ask, Jesus, prove to me that you're healer. Jesus, prove to me that you are the Prince of Peace. Prove to me that you're the provider. What we are actually saying is that I'm not too sure that that's who you are. And yes, Jesus can still bring about a miracle into your world. He's not one to not show mercy because of our disbelief. Because remember, the purpose of signs and wonders is to draw us closer to him. So have confidence that the word of God is true. Have bold faith and believe that he is who he says he is. And that is a good place to start when we're looking for signs and wonders. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so let's jump into it. So I've got 3 points. And these 3 points, they're not the only things that are going to make us see signs and wonders. So don't say, oh, you know, these are the only 3 things that are going to... Nah, there's many more, all right? But if you're ready, let's go. First one is this. Put yourself in a place where you can see Jesus. Put yourself in a place where you can see Jesus. Luke 19, verses 1 to 9, speaks about a man named Zacchaeus. Someone say Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus, the Bible describes him as one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business. He was very rich, but the reason he was rich is he was a crook. He was a pretty bad dude. And anyway, he hears that Jesus is coming into town. And he sees the crowds gathering. And he wants to see this Jesus. But here's the thing with my man Zacchaeus. The Bible describes him as short. I can relate. Why are you laughing? The Bible describes him as short, and he couldn't see through the crowd, so this is what Zacchaeus does. He runs ahead, and he climbs up a tree. He climbs up a tree so he could see Jesus. Now listen, he has an unobstructed view of Jesus above the crowd, above the noise. And I 100% believe that Zacchaeus, sitting in that tree, seeing Jesus come up, his gaze was fixed on Jesus, mesmerized by Jesus as he's walking up. And Jesus walks past, and he looks up, and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree, and he calls him by name. Now, if that is not a sign, I don't know what is. He calls Zacchaeus by name. Do you know that he calls you by name? He calls you by name. Daddy, he calls you by name. That is a sign in itself. If I never get another sign in my life, but I know that Jesus called me by name, yeah, I'm done. It's all good. He calls Zacchaeus by name, and he says to Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house for dinner. Basically what Jesus was saying, come down from that tree. Signs and wonders is coming to your house today. And also, I love how Jesus just invited himself over. What a G. So he goes to Zacchaeus' house, and before Jesus even said anything, the Bible says that Zacchaeus says, you know what? I'm going to give half of my wealth away to the poor. And if I've done anyone wrong, whatever, if I've cheated them out of money, then I'm going to give them back four times. Jesus just rocked up, didn't even get a chance to say anything. And Jesus responds to him. Jesus responds to him. You know what Jesus' response was? He didn't preach a message with 3 points. He didn't even do an altar call. He didn't ask the keys to come up and make it super spiritual. Jesus responds and he says, salvation has come to this house. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. Zacchaeus was not a good man. But his life got changed around because he put himself in a position where he could see Jesus clearly. And when he saw Jesus and who he was, he repented of himself even before Jesus said anything. He said, I've done wrong and I'm going to give half of my wealth away. And if I've cheated anyone, I'm giving them back four times. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. The whole household. The whole household. Because he put himself in a place where he could see Jesus clearly. In 2009, July, I attended Hillsong College. In February that year, we moved over from New Zealand. Me and my wife, and at that time, our two-year-old. And $2,500, we moved from New Zealand to start our life here in Sydney. On a call from God. God wanted us to do Bible college, or wanted me to do Bible college. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I only had enough money for the first semester. So it was 2 semesters. I started in July, and then I'll finish in July. And we had enough money for the first semester, and it was great. And I honestly felt like at college was where God wanted me. And I honestly felt like I could see Jesus clearly, and I was getting to know Jesus a lot more in my walk. And anyway, the second semester came around, February 2010. And like I said, we had no money to pay for that semester, and I'm thinking that I'm just going to have to drop it. But I knew that God wanted me there. And I knew that God had me there for a reason. And anyway, Mel's family were visiting that week before college was meant to go back. Mel's family, her uncle, her auntie, and her cousins. Now, I didn't like Mel's uncle. I didn't like Mel's uncle. And the reason I didn't like him is because the first time I met him, he put a knife to my throat. And he said, look after my niece, like talking about Mel. He's lucky I was saved, man, because I was about to Uno reverse that knife. But here's the thing. Mel's uncle, he's a pastor. Yeah. And anyway, yeah, so I didn't like this uncle. And he's talking to me. And another thing about my Mel's uncle is that he did not like the church that we're going to. So he was over our house. He's staying over our house. And he was saying to me, why are you going into that college? Why are you going to this church? Don't you know that about this? They do that. They do this. They do that. Man, I was about to go in the kitchen grab a knife. I was like, man, I had enough of this. And he was saying all this stuff. And I said to him, I said, Uncle, honestly, I'm here because I feel like I'm being obedient to God, and that's where he wants me to be. And anyway, the first day of college comes by, and we're going to chapel, which is like their service. Everyone goes there, the staff and all the kids, even if you haven't paid yet. The service is for everyone, chapel service. And I walk into chapel service, and it's pre-service, and I walk in, and I kid you not, sitting on the stage is Mel's uncle. And I walk in from the back and I see him. I'm like, oh, shh. I was like, he's going to cause a scene, man. He's going to be like, Jesus, start making a whip and just start driving everyone out. I'm freaking out. I was like, what is he doing here? And I go up to him. I'm like, Uncle, what are you doing here? And straight away, he whinges. It's like, it's too dark in here. Oh man, the music's too loud. He can't see anyone. And then he says, where's the office? And I'm like, oh my gosh. He goes, no, he's going to go punch on with the director or something. And he goes, take me to the office. And I'm like, man, can I just pat you down first? Make sure you got no knives, uncle. And we go to the office. And he talks to the office ladies. And he goes, this man here, he goes, how much does he owe for the semester? And they said the amount. And it wasn't a small amount. And this uncle, he paid it. In full, like not, he just paid it. And I'm like, and he looks at me and he says to me, I might not believe in all this. He goes, but I do believe that God is doing a good work in you. That's a miracle. And I believe it's because God had me in a place where I could see Jesus clearly. And the miracle came from an unlikely source. An unlikely source. And just so you know, like, he's like my favorite uncle now. I'm not going to lie. And he ended up switching churches and was going to Hillsong in Brisbane, yeah. God doing a good work. But I believe I put myself in a place where I could see Jesus clearly. And God did the rest. Altar, there are going to be a lot of things that are trying to blur, trying to distort, trying to obscure your view of Jesus. But get to a place where you can see him clearly. Place yourself in his word so you can see him clearly. Place yourself in his house so you can see him clearly. You could have easily stayed home today and watched the game. But you place yourself in his house so that you can see him clearly. Place yourself in his word. Place yourself around people that are lifting you up above your circumstances so you can see Jesus clearly. Place yourself on your knees in worship. Place yourself in obedience and surrender to him, and you will see Jesus, see him for who he truly is. If you see Jesus clearly, I guarantee you this, and my wife will testify to this, you will see signs and wonders in your life. I can be up here all night telling you of the miraculous signs and wonders that God has done in our life. And I know many other people can. There's a sitting one right here. No signs and wonders for your dragons, though. Unlucky. Alright, second thing is this, put yourself in a place where you can recognize Jesus, because there's a lot of people throwing out signs and wonders, but they ain't from Jesus. John 5:1-13 speaks of a lame man, John 5:1-13, look that up later on, speaks of a lame man who had been sick for 38 years, and he's laying down next to the pool of Bethesda, along with many other lame, blind, paralyzed, and sick people. And the reason they're lying at this particular pool, because in verse 4, which is kind of strange, like look in your Bible, there's no verse 4. There's verse 3, and then just skip straight to verse 5. Most texts don't have verse 4 in, but verse 4 says this. You can check it if you want. It's not in there. But it's likely, what happens is likely, at certain times or from time to time, an angel of the Lord, this is at the pool of Bethesda, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. And after the angel had stirred the waters, the first person to get into the pool would be fully healed. So all those that were lying there alongside the pool, they were waiting, looking for the sign, looking for the stirring of the water. And when they see that stirring, when they see that sign, they're in there. They want to be the first in there so that they can be healed. But Jesus rocks up. Jesus rocks up to the pool and he sees the lame man that's been sick for 38 years. And he bends down to the man and he says, do you want to get well? So everyone there is waiting for the sign. Waiting for the stirring of the water. Here Jesus comes, says to the man, do you want to get well? And the answer he gives Jesus, shows that he does not recognize that the one who's asking him is Jesus. That he doesn't have to wait for a sign, that the sign, the wonder, the miracle is standing right next to him. But he doesn't recognize him. And I can imagine the lame man, he's watching the water. He's waiting for the stirring. Jesus asks him, has a quick glance at Jesus and looks back. And he starts to whinge because he doesn't want to miss the sign. He says, there's no one to help me get in when the water is stirred. And when I'm trying to get in the water, someone always gets to it before me. See, that wasn't the answer. The answer was A, yes. Lock in A, Eddie. Yes, I want to get well. But that wasn't the answer. He whinges as to why he's not healed. It's always someone else. No one helps me. No one's there for me. And while he's saying this, Jesus interrupts him and says, stand up. He's not even finished whinging. And Jesus says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And immediately, it's been 38 years. Jesus says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And immediately picks up his mat and he just Conor McGregor's it out of there. Just walks out. He just walks out. How many times have we failed to recognize Jesus that he wants to do something miraculous in our lives, but we're too focused on waiting for the big sign, the big visual, fire falling from heaven. Or we don't recognize Jesus because we're too busy wallowing about why we haven't had our moment, why God hasn't done anything for me. Oh man, how come they get their miracle? That's not fair. No one helps me. And we become bitter. And when you become bitter, it's hard to recognize Jesus. You come into a place like this, oh, they didn't sing my favorite song tonight. That's a sign I'm out. Oh, that preacher's wearing a hat. I've never seen that before. That's a sign I'm out. We fail to recognize Jesus. And all the while, Jesus is right there saying, I'm here. Stand up. I'm here. Stand up. Take your mat. I got you. See, don't get caught up waiting for the miracle that you miss the one who gives the miracle. Don't miss Jesus and what he wants to do in your everyday. Don't sit and wait for the next big event. Don't wait for your favorite song or your favorite preacher. Don't sit on the sidelines and wait for your sign to come on team. Oh, I'm going to jump on team when God gives me a sign. Jesus is here now. He says, get up, stand up, take your mat. He's got you. For us to see signs and wonders, understand that it can be in the most mundane moments. Recognize that Jesus is with you every day, asking you every day, hey, you want to see something? And so many times we look past him and say, no, not today, Jesus, I've got a conference coming up. Jesus is in the small things too. And Jesus is here now, wanting to do a work in and through you. And when you recognize Jesus, listen to me, altar, when you recognize Jesus, you can tell what's from him and what's not from him. Matthew 24:24 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, false Christs and false prophets will appear, and they are appearing. And they will offer great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, even those whom God has chosen. So recognize Jesus. Put yourself in a place where you can recognize Jesus and know that he's standing right there with you. You don't have to wait. So many Christians wait. They're waiting. Oh, no, I'm just waiting on that sign. Jesus, I'm waiting on that sign. Not recognizing Jesus. Jesus, I know you're there, but I'm waiting on the sign. I'm waiting on the sign. Jesus says, stand up. Get up. Do it now. Get up. Stand up. Do it now. Last one. Sheesh. Last one. I'll get the team up too. For us to see signs and wonders, we need to place others at the feet of Jesus. If you want to see signs and wonders in your life, then what we need to do is place others at the feet of Jesus. Place others at the feet of Jesus. Luke 5, 17 to 26, one of my favorite stories. Jesus is teaching and healing at Simon Peter's house. The place is packed. Packed. People came from everywhere to hear him. And then some men came, carrying their friend who was paralyzed on a mat. These friends, they have heard about Jesus. And they know if anyone can help their friend, it's Jesus. If they can just get him to Jesus. So what the friends do, they come and they're carrying their friend. Remember, he's paralyzed. Four of them. And they're carrying their friend. And they get to the house and they can't get in because it's overflow. They can't get anywhere near the house. And for them, that could be a sign that it's not today. Yeah, we're not going to see Jesus today. Nah, let's just call it a day. We'll come back another time. But not these friends. No, they persevered. They said, okay, we can't get in that way. There's got to be another way. And they take their friend. And I'm sure the friend is like, guys, don't worry about it, man. It's a little bit embarrassing. I'm here on this mat. I don't even know if Jesus can do this. Can we go? But the friends are like, nah, man. Yeah. right, yeah, we're not missing this opportunity. Jesus can do something in your life. And they go around the side of the house and they jump up on the roof. What in the Western Sydney thing is that, jumping up on the roof? And they start peeling off the tiles of the roof. And they start to lower their friend, who's paralyzed, down to the feet of Jesus. I feel like it would have been like really awkward, because Jesus is teaching and then all of a sudden someone's coming through the roof. And it's like quiet and they're just like, and he's just like, what can he do? What can the paralyzed guy do? He can't do anything. He's just like, and he lands right at the feet of Jesus. Oh, man. And I can imagine him just like, hey. And Jesus does something quite remarkable. He sees the paralytic man. And then he looks straight up at the friends. And the Bible says that Jesus sees their faith. Not this guy's faith. Jesus, the Bible says he sees their faith. And I can just imagine all the friends up looking through the hole, teary-eyed, full of faith, like legit, holding each other. Come on, that's our friend there. Looking through, looking at Jesus. We got our friend there. We know you can do something, Jesus. We know you can do something. And Jesus looks up. And he looks at the man and he says, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and go. That is wild. It was the faith of the friends that got their friends saved and healed. Saved and healed. And the Bible says that everyone in that room was gripped with great, wait for it, wonder and awe. Do you know that you and I can be the catalyst for someone to receive a miracle? Do you know that your faith, my faith, can see someone encounter Jesus? These friends knew that Jesus was the answer for their friend. And they went to extra lengths to get him there. Altar Church, the people in our world, like I said at the beginning, people are looking for signs. They are looking for answers. They are looking for hope. And we know the answer. It is Jesus. Your life is a signpost. When people see you and ask, why are you so joyful? That's your opportunity. You lead them to Jesus. When people ask you, how you handle the tough seasons? How did you walk them so well? You tell them it was Jesus. If you want to experience the wonder of Christ in your life, let's bring people to the feet of Jesus. And watch what he does, the miraculous in their life, but not just their life, but your life. Me standing up here, I've told you many times, I want nothing to do with church. Me standing up here, I'm on the back of my grandparents' persistent prayers. Persistent, every day contending for me, fighting in prayer for me in the supernatural. And my cousin, oh my goodness, my annoying cousin, who kept asking me to come to church, asking me and asking me and asking me. And every time I'll say, no, nope, nope. No, thank you. No, kept asking me. And then he left to move overseas and he asked his little brother to continue asking me, come to church. Nope, come to church. Finally, I gave in because someone persisted that I was not going to do life without Jesus. Who's the friend? Altar. Who's the family member? Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep encouraging. Their miracle encounter with Jesus is coming, I'm telling you. Place others at the feet of Jesus and be in awe and wonder what Jesus can do in their life and in yours. Why don't we stand to our feet? And I'll get the singers to come up to you. Before we close tonight, maybe this is your moment to encounter Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're here on an invite from someone. And to be honest, if you came into this place tonight and you're like, elders, creatures singing, and you're like, man, this is weird. But maybe you're here on an invite from someone. And maybe while you were sitting there, maybe Jesus was tugging on your heart. And like he did with the man that was beside that pool, he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Or maybe you're here on the back of the prayers from someone. If you've never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, then I want to pray for you. So every eye closed in this place and every head bowed right across this place, just for privacy. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I believe, just like he called Zacchaeus by name, he is calling people here in this place tonight by name, saying that he loves you. So if that's you, would you be bold enough to pray a prayer with me? And as a church, we're all going to pray it together. But if it's you, if you're making this decision for the first time, you pray this prayer from your heart, and Jesus will come into your life, and he will turn things around. So let's pray together all across this place. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for coming to earth and dying on a cross to take all of my sin and to take all of my shame. I thank you that you rose again so that I may live. So come into my heart, change me from the inside out, and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Amen and amen. Come on, can we give these people who made a decision a hand?